Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty, along with Rita Dunaway, and we're taking you with us onto a battlefield that is raging in America today. This is not a myth. It is real. Ever since we began this Crossroads program, we have talked regularly about the attacks that are being launched every day against Christians in all walks of life, against our Judeo-Christian values and beliefs, and attacks against our enduring constitutional principles. Yes, we generally think of battles like this, battles for freedom, as those that are being waged far away against Christians in the Middle East by radical Islamic terrorists, persecution, rapes, violent deaths. But this is a battle that is taking place here in America, by Americans, against Americans, and most alarmingly, by our own American government. It's what Focus on the Family founder James Dobson has referred to as the Great Civil War of Values. And it seems, not just seems, it is getting worse every day. But our guest today is someone who knows the price of freedom firsthand from having grown up under a brutal communist dictator in Romania. Since coming to America, he has become one of America's foremost defenders of our religious liberty. I could go on and on about his background, but it's better if you hear his story in his own words. Therefore, let me simply welcome to the Shenandoah Valley and to our studio today, Mr. Horatio Mihet, who is now Vice President of Legal Affairs and Chief Litigation Counsel for Liberty Counsel, headquartered in Orlando, Florida. Now, he prefers to be called Harry, so Harry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dean and Rita, for having me with you.
Harry, thanks for coming. Based on Dean's introduction, I think he wants you to tell us about your background and what brought you to Liberty Counsel. How did you end up there?
Sure. Well, how much time do you have? I'll try to be brief, but I've been so privileged to see God's mighty hand at work in my life, even from my childhood. As you mentioned, I grew up in a place where there was no freedom, where even the mention of that word could cause you to be arrested and sent away to a labor camp, never to be heard from again.
Now, what is that word? I've heard you say it. You're going to probably ask us to say it at a program that we're having later.
Yes.
What is it?
Libertate. Romania is a Latin-based language, so libertate, liberty, it means freedom. It's a word that wasn't spoken very much in Romania. It was whispered because the communists were so determined to control every aspect of our lives. And so the communists made life difficult for everyone, but it was especially difficult for Christians because the communists didn't want to compete with even God for the allegiance of the people. And so they literally drove the Church of Jesus Christ underground, did not allow it to exist openly, imposed many onerous burdens on what pastors could say and couldn't say. And as a result, I grew up as the son of a pastor in Romania by the grace of God. My dad pastored up to 17 churches at one time. There was a great shortage of pastors. There were no seminaries that could train pastors. And so I grew up watching him sort of travel from church to church, underground, coordinating with other pastors underground to build God's people and to tend to the flock under those circumstances. I also grew up watching him go to jail many times for doing nothing more than just preaching truth, preaching the word of God and speaking truth to power. Beyond that, even us as his kids and as Christians, we were persecuted at school. We were singled out for discrimination and bullying, not by our classmates, but by the leadership. They would just disadvantage us and discriminate against us and mock us and throw things at us because we were the so-called repenters. That was the derogatory term they used for us, the repenters. But we kind of wore the badge with pride, you know, like right-wing extremists these days. It's supposed to be an insult, you know, and we wear that badge proudly. So that was sort of the lens through which I grew up. And, you know, freedom was precious to us, even though we didn't know what it was. But we always looked to the United States of America as that shining beacon of freedom. Reagan talked about the city on a hill, and for some, it was just rhetoric. For us, it was truth. And communists tried to paint America in a very negative light and showed us all the homeless people and the drug addicts to try to color the way in which we saw the West. But we knew better, and we knew that America stood for freedom. And so it was every child's dream was to be able to come to the United States of America. That was certainly my dream. And one of the best days of my life, I remember it as if it was yesterday, was when at the age of 12, I got to touch ground on American soil. A series of miracles, God brought us here. I've grown to love this country as my own. Every single day, I thank God for the privilege of living in the United States of America now.
So was your childhood and your experience there with not having liberty, did that have anything to do with why you decided to go to law school and how you ended up at Liberty Counsel?
It did. You know, as a child, I remember so often I would see my dad sort of handcuffed by the secret police and taken off to jail to be held there for days on end. And I remember when he'd come home, I'd hug him and I'd say, Daddy, when I grow up, I'm going to be a lawyer so that I can defend you and protect you and make sure that this doesn't happen to you. So that was sort of my dream and part of growing up. And I always thought going to law school here that I'd end up someday working with the persecuted Christians in Iran or Iraq or Syria or North Korea. Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that God was actually preparing me to work with the persecuted Christians in the land of the free, the United States of America.
You went to law school at Duke University.
Duke University.
And you then joined a very prestigious, very well-paying law firm.
Yes.
Why not stay?
Well, you know, I went to law school thinking I was going to come right out of law school and go to work for the Lord and serve God in a nonprofit position. But I got to law school. It was during the heyday of the legal field where there were like five positions for every lawyer, and these big firms were throwing all kinds of of incentives and bonuses. And so I looked at my classmates, all of them landing these cushy six-figure jobs as a starting salary. And so I sort of rationalized it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go out and make some money and make a name for myself and conquer the American dream, and then I will serve the Lord. And so I did that thinking I could provide for myself better than the good Lord could, and trying to supplant, even though I knew what his will was for my life. I was sort of like Jonah headed for Tarsus, you know.
Or Eve in the garden being seduced by...
That's right. Well... Yeah, so I decided to try my own way for a while. And, you know, the Lord was gracious and patient with me and even good to me. He blessed the work that I was doing for the big private firms representing some of America's largest corporations in some big trials, millions of dollars changing hands. Despite, though, of the successes that I was having, I was successful but not satisfied. Mm-hmm. Because there was that void, that God-shaped void in my professional life that God had set aside for me to serve him. And so it wasn't fulfilling. And so after a few years of that, I got to the point where I said, there's got to be more to this, because this is not what I thought it would be. This does not give me the satisfaction that I thought it would give me. And then the Lord kind of said, well, yes, there is, in fact, a much better and more perfect way. And he brought me to my colleagues at Liberty Counsel.
That's so funny. Your story reminds me so much of my own story. You know, going to law school, and then I got out and worked just doing general civil practice work, and it was the same thing. The Lord had other plans for me, and if he has other plans for you, you might as well just move on to what he has for you.
I want to ask maybe both of you, was there a whale that brought you to your senses?
You know, there was no particular whale. But it was just a waking up to realize that there is no better place to be than inside the, yes, God's perfect will for you. Yes, and absolutely. You could be out there thinking you're conquering the world and making millions of dollars. If that's not what God has called you to do, You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be fulfilled, because only He can provide that fulfillment. You know, that's not to say that God doesn't call some people to be hotshot litigators at America's largest firms, perhaps to fund the work in Ministry of Liberty Council.
There you know, we need that too, don't we?
You know, God has a special plan and call for each and every one of His children, and the sooner you understand and realize that, the better off you're going to be. That's a lesson I've learned.
Well, with that as our lens, Harry, how do you see the general landscape in America today regarding specifically religious liberty, and include some of the ways in which Christians have become the target of some of these attacks?
Well, you know, Dean, we're living in very perilous times in America today. It's hard to believe that we're even saying this, but I think your listeners will know and understand if they're in touch with what's happening on the news these days. Freedom is on the verge of becoming extinct in the land of the free. There are people working day and night to figure out new ways to deprive us of our God-given, constitutionally guaranteed rights, and at the same time to remove God out of every last vestige of our public square. And so we see this playing out in virtually every area of society. We've got, you know, we've got Christian bakers and photographers and florists who are being shut out of the marketplace as sort of the price of citizenship, they're being told, you know, unless they not only tolerate but actually sponsor and support and are personally involved in things that they find absolutely sinful and abhorrent and against God's ordained law. Unless they become part of that, they're being made to pay for it, sometimes with their money, sometimes with their businesses, even at times with their own freedom. That's the nature of where we are today. And a lot of the times, people that maybe are not so much in tune with current events are saying, well, that's just hyperbole. I've been accused of having a persecution complex, you know, of always trying to find persecution where it doesn't exist. But you know, I can't help it when my client is in a federal court, in the accused box, a whisker away from jail because they've done nothing more than to say a blessing over a meal in a public school. I can't help but see persecution there. When my client, like Kim Davis, is actually thrown in jail, not just threatened with jail, but thrown in jail because she would not compromise her conscience and put her name on a so-called marriage certificate that was against the very core of her being and her beliefs. When she's sent to jail for that, I can't help but see persecution in there. When schools are being sued because they start school board meetings with prayer, when cities are being sued because they have the Ten Commandments in front of their courthouses, when we see atheists taking offense at anything and everything under the sun, even while preaching tolerance for anyone and everybody, I can't help but see persecution there. And I think your listeners will agree with me that freedom is on the verge of becoming extinct in the land of the free.
You've got one listener right here who agrees with you.
Well, in fact, Rita was part of the effort in this court involving Greece, New York, about the prayer before a public meeting and filing a brief to the court on that. So our listeners are familiar with that very well.
I'd like to know, do you think that these attacks on freedom in America are specifically targeted against Christians, or do you think they're simply part of a broader effort to just expand government control over us generally?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there is a larger movement here to limit what we've always known as free speech in this country, to curtail speech that we don't like, speech that offends us, and by us I mean the government. And so in that respect, we see that playing out not only against Christians, but, you know, for example, our enlightened college campuses today, the young folks in college these days appear to be so fragile that they need to be coddled and protected from anything that might offend them. Whether it's coming from a biblical standpoint or not, you know. So we certainly see this larger movement. However, I would say Christians are becoming more and more the target of that movement because of the way that our culture and our society has progressed today. The Christian viewpoint, the traditional biblical values that have been at the very foundation of our nation have now become out of favor. And it's now become, you know, controversial and offensive to hold true and fast to the teachings of the Bible. And as a result, those who are preaching tolerance from the rooftops are having precious little of it when it comes to authentic Christian living, not only within the four corners of the church, but out in the public square where it counts. And so we see Christians particularly becoming the targets of these vile attacks on their liberty, where they're being, you know, fined, thrown out of the public square, thrown out of the marketplace, and even jailed, oftentimes for nothing more than speaking their mind, let alone acting according to their beliefs.
You know, it seems to me that our society, our culture, have really exalted human feelings over any kind of, you know, rule of law, any belief in absolute truth. We can't have anyone say anything in public that might make someone feel a certain way. They might feel like an outsider if someone prays in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, a person, a boy or a girl who has decided they would rather be a different gender than what they are might feel uncomfortable about the bathroom situation. So everybody else has to change. Is that what you're seeing?
Absolutely. How right you are, Rita. You know, we have come to a place where we want to be all things to all people. And in the name of political correctness, we cannot say anything that anyone might find offensive. You know, you might have a gathering of public school teachers at an end of the year banquet, and 299 out of the 300 might very well appreciate a prayer of blessing over their meal, and one of them might be offended, and as a result, you have to do what pleases the minority. And it plays out, like you said, with this whole transgender mania right now. You know, biology, anatomy, scientific reality no longer is relevant, because if you feel a certain way, then who are we to bring objective truth and reality against your feelings? You know, feelings dictate and rule the day in our society. We are becoming, and we are now, a feel-based society. It's definitely not a good trajectory for our society and for our nation.
Yeah, so now we're having court cases decided and having laws and, you know, policies decided on the basis of human feelings. In your experience, who is generally behind these attacks on our religious liberty in America?
First and foremost, I believe the battle that we face is because I'm a Christian and I read God's word. I believe it is a battle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of this present darkness. Yes. And so I think this is a spiritual battle first and foremost. It is an attempt to drive God's word, to contain it. It is war against God. Mm-hmm. Really, first and foremost, the same kind of war against God that the communists undertook in Romania, we're seeing played out here. And so the foot soldiers of this battle, though, come in the form of powerful organizations, well-funded groups with unlimited resources and lawyers at their disposal, people like the misnamed American Civil Liberties Union, or the ACLU. I heard one pastor affectionately refer to them as the Anti-Christian League of the Underworld, which would be a better acronym. The so-called Freedom From Religion Foundation, not of religion, but Freedom From Religion Foundation, representing atheists in this country. All of the LGBTQIITX, it seems like the acronym keeps expanding these days. You know, they have powerful and well-funded groups at their disposal. So there is this concert of forces uniting together to come down against traditional Christian values in this country. And unfortunately, they have found a listening ear in the media, and they have found a listening ear in the courts, and they have found a listening ear in virtually every corner of society, unfortunately.
Well, Harry, you've discussed some of the more prominent examples of cases that you have personally been involved with, and you mentioned the name of Kim Davis. As you know, there have been different opinions about the Davis case. Some believe she should have resigned if she couldn't comply with the new law. Others believe she's a hero for not having backed down. How do you see it?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it. Kim Davis is the bravest, most courageous woman in America, period, bar none. I wonder if the people who think that Kim Davis should have resigned also think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should have bowed the knee to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. I wonder if they think that Daniel and his colleagues should have resigned their government positions rather than take a stand and be thrown into the lion's den. Look, this is the United States of America. This is not Iraq or Iran or Syria or North Korea or communist Romania. This is the United States of America, a nation founded on religious freedom, and a nation formed by people who fled other regimes where they had to pay a significant price for their beliefs. They came here particularly so that they could exercise their beliefs while also being part of the public square. Kim Davis had a God-given constitutional guaranteed right to live out her faith, not only in her church, but also in her public square. As a nation, we have had a rich tradition of accommodating religious beliefs. The Muslim prisoner doesn't have to eat non-halal food. You know, the Christian doctor doesn't have to perform an abortion. The warden that's opposed to the death penalty doesn't have to pull the switch on the electric chair. All of those people have protections within the law and within the constitutions that allow them to live out their faith without having to give up their livelihoods and their jobs. Kim Davis's case was no different. The only difference was that she was up against the LGBTQ lobby. And we've come to the point now where apparently the rules in the Constitution are thrown out the door in that particular arena.
She sought accommodation and it was denied.
She sought an accommodation, a very reasonable accommodation. She was painted as this intolerant bigot who was determined to do anything within her power to get between the people wanting to get to the altar and their marriage license, when in fact, the only thing she wanted was not to have her name, her authority on these marriage licenses for same-sex couples that she found so contrary to her belief. She said, I don't care what you all do, what everybody else does. If there's other clerks that want to put their names, that you know, that's between them and their maker, and they'll have to answer to him someday, not to me. Mm-hmm. But don't make me put my name on these licenses. So she simply said, keep me out of it. But that wasn't good enough for her enemies. They said, no, Kim Davis, we want your scalp, your head on the platter. We want your knee to bow down to this particular idol. And she had to go to jail to protect her conscience.
Well, I know we are running out of time. I wish we had a longer time to spend with you. Tell us more about Liberty Council. What does Liberty Council do to prepare people, businesses, and Christian organizations for these kinds of attacks that we're seeing in our society?
Well, you know, I'm so privileged to be part of Liberty Council. We are a pro bono public interest law firm. We come alongside Christians who decide to draw that line in the sand and to say no to the king, to speak truth to power. And we're so privileged to be involved in this fight with God's children, because we get to see the miraculous things that happen when people do take a stand. You know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand and said no to the king, God used that to change the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of that story, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." We see that same thing happening today. You know, with Kim Davis's story, because of her courage and the stand she took, she changed not only the hearts and minds of many Americans, but she changed the law in Kentucky. They passed, after this ordeal, what is affectionately called by some as Kim's Law, signed by the governor of Kentucky, giving other clerks like her the option of opting out of these ceremonies that they find offensive and contrary to their faiths. We see that same thing happening time and time again. And so the message for your listeners is one of hope, one of courage. You know, God is looking for strong, courageous Christians now who are willing to take a stand no matter what the cost. And Liberty Counsel is here to enable them and to encourage them to do that. And so I would encourage them to look for us on the World Wide Web, www.lc.org. We have a lot of resources to educate them about their rights. And then when necessary, we will come to assist them, always free of charge, to make sure that they can take a stand for their faith.
One final question, Harry. What's the role of the churches in all of this?
You know, the church today needs to wake up and to be the church. You know, in Romania, the church was largely responsible for bringing freedom about to the people. In America, in our own revolutionary era, the church, the Black Robe Regiment, was hugely responsible for bringing freedom about. The church today needs to wake up from its sleep and its slumber. Pastors need to preach the truth, God's entire counsel, the whole counsel of God, without fear and without intimidation. And when the church does what the church was created to do, when God's people do what they were created to do, I believe the Lord can honor that and bring about radical change in our country.
How about as individuals? What can you say to us to stiffen our spines? Speak up, stand up.
I would say exactly that. I would say be the next Daniel, be the next Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Be the person who says no to the king. When the king's edict goes against God's command, be the one that says, "Hey, I know my God, I know my Bible, and I know my Constitution, and I am not willing to voluntarily give up those principles and those rights. I'm willing to take a stand no matter what the cost."
Harry, thank you so much for being with us today. It has just been so encouraging. Our guest has been Horatio Mihet, preferred to be known as Harry, born and raised in Romania, and now Vice President of Legal Affairs and Chief Litigation Counsel, that's a big title, for Liberty Counsel, headquartered in Orlando, Florida. If you would like to listen to this program again, you can go to our website, valleyfamilyforum.org, and click on the link to Crossroads on the homepage. As always, we deeply appreciate your prayers, your encouragement, and your faithful financial support. We cannot do this without you. So if you would like to make a tax-deductible donation to help keep Crossroads on the air, you can do so by check to P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, 22803. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Dean Welty, along with Rita Dunaway and our amazing engineer, Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week for another special edition at the Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. Until then, have a great week putting your faith into action.
Rejoice, 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 rej